This is Amarins.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur, and welcome to episode 6 of my podcast. And joining me today is Adam from This Boy Elroy. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Arthur. How are you?
Good, good. Now, you and I have chatted online before, and we've traded emails,
yep.
But this is the first time we've actually spoken.
Yes, it is.
Very exciting.
I know. I'm so happy you asked me to be on your podcast.
Well, it seemed to make sense to me because, as I told you and mentioned a bit in the comments section of your podcast, you've been an inspiration as one of the people who sort of got me into podcasting.
And, that's very nice of you to say.
Well, it's true because I always liked what you did, or do, I suppose is a better way to put it. and also, because of yours, I found all these other people like Archer, for instance, and Calvin, and JT, and people like that that I probably wouldn't have encountered otherwise, or may not have.
That's great. That's great. I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah, you're like the
for
Nexus.
You.
You're the Nexus.
Wow. That's so Star Trek to me.
It is. Nothing wrong with that. I was thinking of you the other day. I was checking my feed burner stats, and I noticed that somebody had accessed my feed through a Wii.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I've been wanting to, actually, because the Wii has this great internet browser in it, and it'll play anything Flash. So I guess if you have a Flash MP3 player, and I think, you know, Archer just added that onto his blog site for his podcast.
Too, yeah.
Where you have, there's like the Flash MP3 player. So, yeah, if you can use that Flash on the Wii, it's pretty cool. I like to use YouTube on my Wii because I can watch YouTube on my TV now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's great. I love the Wii.
Yes, well, we also both are fans of Super Mario, too, so.
Yes. What's your favorite Super Mario?
Well, the one that I know the best is Super Mario 3.
Love that one.
I got that with I don't even remember what it was called, then the NES or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was on the NES, Mario 3.
And in fact, I think it came with it, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think at one time they were bundling it, because Mario 3, I mean, it came out kind of towards the end of the NES's lifetime. So I think at one point they were bundling the NES with Mario 3. So
yeah. I went back then and I bought 1 and 2 because I liked it so much. I thought, I got to try the old ones too.
I got 1 for the Wii. Play NES games on the Wii. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. You can play NES, Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, Genesis, and TurboGrafx games on the Wii. Yep.
Well, might have to talk Nigel into letting me buy one.
Yay. And then we can add you as a friend and we can trade messages and stuff.
Ah, the modern world.
I'm such a child.
Well, the kid that refuses to grow up.
Exactly, that's me.
I was looking back on your blog the other day. I don't remember when. Because I was trying to remember when it was exactly that I started listening to your podcast and all that. And I know that I started looking in October because I remember the thing with you and Brad as Mario and Luigi, speaking of them. But I can't remember anything before that, so I must have started reading your blog and listening to your podcast in October, which means it's only been about 6 months.
And, okay, that's when you first started reading me and everything. Yeah, it's I know you said you've only been listening for 6 months, but I haven't really. I mean, This Boy Elroy, that inception of my podcast and blog, whatever, hasn't even been around for a year.
Yeah.
So. Because I just started that up in August of last year because I had my previous blog, The Krebs Cycle, and I stopped that. I just kind of put that one away. So
isn't that the one where you had the post about Sean Hayes?
Oh, yeah. That's the one where, I had a post about Sean Hayes and how I was happy that Will and Grace was over.
Yeah.
Because I thought the show was insipid. And actually, Joe My God linked to that post.
Yeah, you mentioned that on somebody or other's podcast. I've forgotten who it was. And
yeah, that was like my one day of like blog glory.
Well, I thought about you because there's that gay neighbors thing, that survey. Joe My God had posted about it, and so I commented, and he replied to one of my comments, and I was thrilled.
Right, I know. I know, it's so funny because he's just he's kind of like my blog daddy, you know, because he's like the first blog that I ever read. I read a lot, and I thought, oh, because of his blog. And yeah, he like, you know, was kind of one of my inspirations, so
Although I,
it was very cool.
yes, he's sort of the one of the big stars of blogging, probably.
He is. He really is. It's amazing how many. I mean, I'm only just kind of because the hits that I got on that one day from his reference was just astounding. So I can't even imagine what kind of traffic his blog gets on a day. So.
Okay, every once in a while you get a bit Skypey.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think it's your fault.
I
As far as I know, anyway.
don't. I hope. Hello.
Hello.
This is like one of those Madge Weinstein shows in the days of old where everything was just like a Skype mess. I
It happens, I guess.
it happens. I don't know, like I guess it's 'cause where I live too. I think if anybody uses their portable phone, it interferes with my Wi-Fi or something.
Okay.
So, it's crap.
So,
Yes.
you just went to Australia
I
and
did.
had a great time by all
I
reports.
loved it. I
Yeah.
loved it so much.
What was the first thing you noticed when you got there?
First thing I noticed
Apart from being
when
really
I got
tired,
there.
probably.
No, I was actually so energized. I got off the plane and I was so thrilled to be there. I was really impressed with how clean the streets were
Okay.
when I first got there. And I don't know. That's something that I noticed immediately. I don't know why. I'm just tuned into that for some reason. And yeah, that was one thing I noticed. And just even the air, even around the airport, was also just very clean.
Yeah, they get where did you fly into? I've forgotten now.
Sydney,
Oh, yeah.
Kingsford Smith. Yeah. And I guess I mean because you know Dallas has got some of the worst air quality in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So that was definitely like I really noticed that when I got there.
Yeah,
So,
it'd be a contrast, wouldn't it?
It was a huge contrast. It was a huge contrast. So, but there were lots of things that I noticed just in general that were just completely different from the United States.
Did you, this may seem like an odd question, but did you have a chance to go into a grocery store at all?
I did.
Oh, good. Because
Yeah,
I was trying to
absolutely.
do that wherever I travel.
Oh, I love to do that. Because you really get a sense of just, I guess, how everyday people live and the things that they need. Because, I mean, that's what they have at the grocery store. Yeah, our hotel was really close to a grocery store, and, you know, we were buying just snacks for the day. Because the way Brad and I travel, we don't like to go back to our hotel room until right before dinner. We take a nap, and then that's it. You know, we stay out all day. So I went to the grocery store, yeah, for sure.
Oh,
And I
that's good.
was really surprised about a lot of things. They don't refrigerate their eggs. That was very strange to me. And what else was very odd? They have home brewing kits for beer, which I thought was really interesting. And yeah, I can't. Those were the two things that stood out in the grocery store.
Okay. Well, Nigel and I had just went to Sydney last November, and we went to a grocery store. Now, I've been to Australia before, but it'd been, well, it was 1995 the last time I was there. So I didn't really notice that much then or remember that much from then. And we went in, and the things that I noticed, well, we were looking mostly at prices, I suppose. And I was interested that almost everything there was more expensive than here, even, allowing
Really?
exchange rates and all that. Except, I think it was chicken pieces were cheaper.
Chicken
Yeah,
pieces.
and I don't know why. But the thing that really struck me was that here we're used to, you go to the grocery store and say you need some detergent or something, and you buy a refill. You don't have to buy the whole thing, the trigger or whatever it might be, whatever kind of detergent you're getting. They don't have any refills there. You have to buy the whole packaging all
Really?
over again.
You have I see well we don't have that here either.
Oh, really?
So
Oh, I suppose I'm just
yeah,
used to it.
you're probably used to it by now and I wish we did. I think that's a great idea, a refill. I mean, that's 'cause the plastic packaging again and again and again is completely wasteful. Yeah, that's interesting. And but one thing that I did notice in Australia and it actually inspired me is that everybody brings their own grocery sack to the store.
Yeah, that's catching on here too.
Almost almost everybody does that in Australia, and so here I bought a canvas bag that I take to the grocery store now.
Oh, good.
Because in it, I always felt, I mean, whenever I went to the grocery store, I felt it was so wasteful.
Yeah.
I always get paper because I prefer paper. It's more biodegradable. I still though, I felt so guilty because every time I went to the grocery store, I was getting a bag,
Yeah.
and I don't need a bag every single time. It's just seems so, useless.
Yeah. We have little rubbish bins, and those plastic bags from the grocery store are perfect for that. But it starts to add up. Because every time I went to do the weekly shopping, it was like 8 or 10 bags, and I get these huge balls of bags. So I got some of those fabric ones, and I have four altogether. One of them is sort of a padded, insulated jobby, and that's enough for the entire week's shopping.
Yep, I know. It's really amazing just how much waste there is in
Yeah.
this country. The things that we just really don't need to have, and people think it's normal.
Yeah.
They just think, how could I ever live without it or something, But
Yeah.
Brad and I were actually outside chatting last night, and we were laughing because you've seen Absolutely Fabulous, right? Have you seen the episode where Adina's friend, played by Miranda Richardson, comes over and she has the baby?
I think so, yeah.
It's really funny. They come over and they've got all this crap, for the baby, bottles, all
Oh,
this shit.
yeah.
And there's this one scene, she's like trying to change the baby and prepare a bottle. She's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and she says, "We try to be green, but it's just not humanly possible." And Brad and I always laugh at that because it's like, okay, we've only had plastics for how long now? Not even 100 years, right? We've only had plastics not even for 100 years. So the human race was able to survive for all the time before then without plastics, and now we're just like, we cannot imagine not having our plastics,
Yeah, well, it's everywhere now.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And it makes me nervous just, with the whole oil thing,
Yeah.
because I don't think a lot of people realize that that's where you get plastic,
Yeah.
is you get it from petroleum,
Which is running out.
which is running out. And to me, I mean, look, I don't care about, if I can't have a brand new plastic on my new Mac, or if I don't have brand new plastic in my cars or whatever. If it needs to be recycled plastic, that's fine. I can
Yeah.
deal with that. What makes me nervous is the healthcare, modern healthcare and plastics are just, I mean, they're so intertwined.
Yeah.
You cannot have modern medicine without
No,
plastic.
absolutely.
And if there's no petroleum and there's no plastic, you don't have modern medicine.
One of my
So.
summer jobs when I was in university was at a Baxter Travonol plant, and they made all those little slide things for IV drips and whatnot. Those little wheels that you wedge to shut off the drip, those sorts of things. All sorts of other little plastic widgets. And I mean, you look at some of these things, you think, what on earth could they use that thing for? But I mean, that's a piece of a piece of a piece. But you're right, everything's plastic.
I know.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Somebody's got to invent an alternative.
Well, we're starting to recycle in the lab, actually,
Oh,
which
that's good.
is very promising.
Yeah.
So, everything that we can recycle, things that aren't contaminated by a biohazard,
Yeah.
we do.
Yeah,
So,
because that's a different matter altogether.
yeah, that has to just be incinerated.
Yeah. Now, you have, I don't know if reputation is qu quite the right word because it makes it sound like people talk about you behind your back.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
No. Of being quite political. And I remember that, I think it was just after the election, you posted a picture of yourself with a proud liberal button in your mouth, which I thought was really cool, actually. But I was looking back in some of your older stuff, and I hadn't noticed that that video you'd posted about the oath of office or whatever. That was really cool.
Thanks. Thank you.
But it's surprising that more people didn't pick up on that at the time. I hadn't thought about that angle, and you were absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's part of the, like, that's in my most recent podcast, you probably heard that I'm just kind of fed up and I just
Yeah.
don't even care anymore. And my sentiment right now is that the people in the United States, whatever we get at this point is what we deserve, and this is just going to have to be our penance. To put it in terms that people understand the best in this country, which is religious terms, this is our penance. So all the fallout that comes from having this president and this administration that he's had for the past 6 years, a one that, people voted for a second time after he stole the first one, everything that's going to happen now, we deserve. And it's the only way I think people are going to learn. So,
If they do.
yeah, if they do learn, if they do learn. So, and that was part, like, that's part of the reason why I'm so frustrated is because no one knew that, the Senate had voted against the Constitution and they are dismantling habeas corpus, and nobody cared. It wasn't on the news. It wasn't anywhere. It was just done very kind of quietly and secretly, and nobody said anything about it. Now people are talking about it, and they're like, "Oh, habeas corpus is gone." And it's
Yeah, like,
like,
hello.
"Yeah, hello, that happened months ago. They gave a damn, So,
Well, when you look at all those little bits and pieces that have been going on, it really is quite worrying. I mean, it was the Defense Reauthorization Act, or whatever it was called, the John Warner Act, basically gave Bush the power to impose martial law at any time for no reason. And I found that particularly frightening because I was thinking, what if a more progressive state, like say California or something, were to pass a law that Bush didn't like? He could order the troops from other states in to invade California and put down the government.
And I've always had, I mean, this is probably far-fetched, but I mean, I don't know, truth is stranger than fiction lately. I've always imagined, just they're not going to leave. After the next election, they're gonna surround the White House, and there's gonna be some kind of military coup, and they'll name themselves dictators or absolute whatever. Let's have a triumvirate. It's so creepy the way these people operate. They do everything so secretively, and I almost feel like, I mean, sometimes I just feel like I'm an alien and I'm just an outsider watching all of this because I feel like everybody else is on a completely different wavelength from what I am and they just don't see it. And I just feel like I'm outside looking in, and I feel like, every time there's some kind of shady thing going on, a really hot kind of fluffy media story going on at the same time that everybody is more involved in. So
Like Anna
like
Nicole's baby or
Anna
whatever.
Nicole Smith or something, like, who the hell cares, honestly?
Well, Nigel and I actually have been talking about that whole thing, and I worry too that the election's going to roll around and there's going to suddenly be some sort of event, and Bush is going to say, well, because of this severe situation, I have to declare martial law and we'll suspend the election. Now, people could say, oh, that's unconstitutional, he couldn't do it, but he's packed the Supreme Court. And they're the ones who put him in power in the first place. And the old court put him in power, not this one. So, I mean, who's going to stop him?
No one.
Exactly.
No one, and I don't know. I just, I sleep with my passport on my nightstand, so I'm ready to go.
Well, you're close to an escape route, at least. I mean, you could make
Yeah,
it.
I mean, I could get out through Mexico or something,
It's difficult sometimes watching it from the other side of the world. I mean, to be honest, there are times I am so glad I'm not there in the middle of it because I don't know that I could handle it. But even living here, there are times I have two strong emotions. One is an almost rage, how dare they do this to my country, sort of thing. And the other is a really deep and profound sense of hurt. How could they do this to my country, sort of thing. And I go back and forth sometimes about which is dominant. But I think what I tend to feel most of all, because it's a totally different society here, I look back and I think, how on earth could people let that happen? And I still don't really understand it. I don't understand how he managed to get reelected. And I don't know why the Democrats didn't get more people into Congress.
It was marketing,
Yeah,
honestly.
yeah.
Because people in this country lately, I mean, I don't know what's happening. They're just so easily swayed by marketing, and there is a huge disconnect in this country in the idea of what people have America and what they have in their head, what they think America is compared to the reality. And I think that there's a kind of natural thought process. So they think America is this great place and it's so wonderful and everything, but then they see these nasty things happening and they're shocked, and then they become incredulous and they're like, no, it just can't be true.
Yeah.
And then they go into this kind of state of denial, and they're just like, no, it's not true. America's a great place.
Yeah.
And they really just don't believe that all these horrible things are happening, and they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Is the reality. And I mean, I don't know. And it's just people just they just don't I don't know what their problem is.
Yeah.
So I don't get weep. I haven't for the longest time. I had like when people go to 4th of July celebrations, and sometimes you see all these people, and you hear the standard country music crap.
Yeah.
America's so great, it's so beautiful, blah blah blah. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, what do I have to be proud about?
Yeah.
And it hurts me to say that,
Yeah.
and it hurts me to have to feel like that because when I was in high school and I was learning about American history and everything, and you learn about the history, and I know there's all these shady parts, but then there's some good times, and I felt like a lot. I felt proud.
Yeah.
Really, there was a time where I did feel proud to be an American, and I was proud, but now I'm just like, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
I am so embarrassed. It's embarrassing. So.
Yeah, well, there are times here where people have assumed I was Canadian, and they haven't always gone out of my way to set them right, I'm afraid.
I know. I
Yeah.
know. It's I mean, and like when I'm in Australia, it's when I was in Australia, people are asking us where we're from, and it's like, well, I'm from the United States. Like, oh, really? Where from? And I'm like, Texas.
Oh.
And they're just like, oh, Texas, that's great beef, blah blah blah. Where? And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. But it and it's interesting because when Brad was in Australia longer than I was. He was there for a total of 8 weeks, and he described how it's a toxic environment in this country because we always feel like we're being attacked. It's just
Yeah.
like no, you're wrong because you're gay, because you're liberal, because you don't go to church, and there's all these fucking rules, It's like, and they're so arbitrary and stupid. And no one is allowed to just be. Like, you cannot just be yourself. And that's why people get guns and they shoot each other. It's because you are not free to really be yourself in this country. You're
Yeah.
really not. So.
Well, I've often thought that the things that people still talk about is about America so great and all that, what they're really talking about are things from the past. Because I mean,
Yeah.
like for instance, there was a time when Americans could look down their noses quite rightly at some countries, some dictatorships and whatnot, because they used torture on their prisoners. Well, America does it now too. So America's got no moral high ground anymore on that or much of anything else. And it's really quite disturbing because, I mean, you used to be able to go out in the world and people would have a certain amount of respect for America because it had certain principles of freedom and rule of law, didn't torture, all those sorts of things. But that's all changed now. The other day, I don't know if you heard it, but Rudy Giuliani got snaky with some person who said basically what freedoms are left, and he said, "Oh, still the most free nation on earth," and all that. And this was in the context of defending the Patriot Act. And I'm thinking, now hang on a minute. There are countries in the world that still have habeas corpus, and there are countries in the world that don't have anything like the Patriot Act, and you're saying that they're less free somehow?
Yeah.
Doesn't add up.
Well, I have like two things to say about that. So, I think a lot of of what happened is we're experiencing a kind of we're definitely in a transition period right now from where we were, which was we were in this post World War II mentality, and now we're entering a new era where it's no longer that post World War II dynamic. And I think what we're experiencing now in the United States, my theory is that during the Cold War, the United States had the Soviet Union to compare themselves to. And we could always say, well, we're not the Soviet Union. We're not the Soviets. We don't torture, and we don't, you know, people here don't have to wait online for toilet paper and all these things. You know, America is the, you know, Reagan and his, it's the shining city on the hill thing, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so maybe we had a kind of example of what not to be. And now that we don't have that anymore, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could just pick another country, but maybe they're not worthy to compare to because they don't have nuclear weapons like we do or something. I don't know. But I think that the Soviet Union provided a kind of, like, counterbalance to the United States after World War II as an example of what not to be. So, and we had to be so unlike them, you know?
Yeah.
And then regarding the thing about, you know, we're the most free nation in the world, I have to disagree with that because in this country, because the minimum wage is so pathetic and because there's no universal health care for everybody, if you're working at minimum wage and you don't have health care, you are not free. Yeah. You are a slave. I'm sorry. Like, you know,
or even if you
I know
do
they just,
have health care, you might be.
Or even
a slave
if you
to that
do
job.
Have health care, you're still a slave to that job. And okay, they just raised the minimum wage to what is it now? Like $7 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, that's still not enough. You are still that's basically highway robbery for somebody's time.
Yeah.
And the fact that most of these jobs, minimum wage, you don't get health care with that, or you don't get it immediately, that's for sure. Because I worked at, you know, in college, I worked at wage jobs, and, you know, they tell you when you're starting out that you don't qualify for benefits if, you know, within the first 9 months of your employment.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, is that free? That's not freedom to me. That's not freedom at all.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in a precarious situation there.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's an old saying, well, I suppose it's more on the side of leftists who would say this, that basically the things, the personal freedoms that the right always talks about don't mean a whole lot if you can't feed your family and you have to be worried that if you get sick, you're going to go bankrupt and lose your house and everything else.
I mean, you're free to do what? You're free to what? Watch your favorite television shows at night when you go home? I mean, great. Wow. Fantastic. You'll be starving, but at least you can watch television.
Yeah.
You know, great.
Yeah. But there's so many vested interests in America that make it so hard to change anything because they you know, they go into hyperdrive to try to prevent anything, any progress from being made.
Absolutely. It's like, you know Emma Goldman?
Mm-hmm.
Emma Goldman, are you familiar with her?
I remember her name. Is she a socialist, wasn't she?
She was a socialist, and she was portrayed in the movie Reds by Maureen Stapleton. There's a great quote by her. She said, if voting actually changed anything, it would be illegal.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, to quote her, that's what I say, you know, and that's how I feel right now in this country. And it's so funny because, honestly, if you asked me, you know, 10 years ago when I was 16 years old and I was like taking American history classes and like all interested in history, and my mother's a history teacher too, so I grew up around history and everything, so you know, I would be saying the absolute opposite of this. I'd be saying how great America is and how wonderful it is. It's this great country, it's this great place to live, and we're so fortunate to be here. And now I'm just, you know, it's completely different now. So.
Yeah, well, I know exactly what you're saying, because when I came here, Bill Clinton was still president, and so it was a totally different situation then. I mean, Monica Gate and all that notwithstanding.
Yeah.
And so I came here, and I was still defending a lot of the things that I'd been taught and that I'd believed going back even to primary school, probably. And it started to dawn on me over time that maybe I wasn't entirely right about a lot of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I always thought that the American system was a very strong political system because it had the checks and balances and the separation of powers and all that. only to find out in the Bush administration that there is no separation of powers and there are no checks and balances.
Nope.
Even with the Democrats in control of Congress, there's still a conservative majority in Congress, and there has been for at least 2 decades. Yeah. And they're not going to sustain a veto of the defense bill. They're not going to do anything serious to stop them. I mean, if they were serious, they would have impeached Gonzalez by now.
Exactly.
Instead of all this, oh, he should resign. Well, if you got the evidence that he broke the law, and he probably did, impeach him. Put him on
exactly.
trial. If he really is innocent, then he'll get to keep his job.
I know, and that's another thing. Like, nobody has any balls to stand up and do anything, and we get all kind of, you know, we watch, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That was him, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like, oh, isn't that great? You know, that's America. That's what it's like. And I'm like, yeah, in the fucking movies. Like, when do you see these people do any of this shit? Yeah. And when they do, they get labeled as crazy or wackos or, you know, there's that dirty word liberal again, you know, like it's a dirty word. I mean, I have a T-shirt that says liberal and it's the definition of liberal, you know, and I wear it around town. And I just, you know, I make an effort to wear my liberal swag once a week around Dallas because, I mean, I am so sick and tired of all these people waving conservatism and religiosity in everybody's face because it's the mainstream thing and because that's considered okay.
Yeah.
You know? And so they're gonna get my brand back, you know?
Yeah.
So, I get like a sick satisfaction out of the fact that I live here in Dallas, Texas, because I love to see these, you know, thin-lipped conservative Chanel suit wearing bitches like quiver when they see me walking towards them in the grocery store, and they're just like, oh my God, it's a gay liberal, you know, like they're just like, oh, you know, they're like mortified, you know.
They probably think they just saw Satan himself.
Exactly, you know, they're just, you know, oh God, you know, please, you know, I have to roll in some Bibles or something, you know, like, so, whatever,
I can
you know,
that too.
You know, and I want that because, you know, and I think the more people see and the more people, if they see you and they see that you're just a normal breathing human being, just like they are, maybe they won't be so afraid of it. Maybe they'll see, okay, we have a point, you know, or, you know, I can see it their way or something. They're not just some crazy people.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry, I'm just like dominating the conversation.
No, keep going.
Okay. There's actually a really interesting documentary produced here in Dallas by a guy that grew up in the suburbs, and it's a documentary about how the suburbs are basically destroying the country. Because people live in these disconnected communities and they actually move to the suburbs because they think it's going to be a better life, but it's actually the quality of life is suboptimal. And he compared a non-suburban, really neat community here in Dallas. It's kind of just very tight-knit. It's an older community. The neighbors know each other. It's a really great place to live, to the suburbs. And, you know, there's people living in these, you know, brand new, sparkling, beautiful finish out new homes in the suburbs, and they're miserable. They really are. When he interviews them, compared to these people that live in, you know, middle class, kind of just average place, but you know what? They're happy because they know their neighbors, and they have a sense of community. They don't live behind walls, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, and he talks about there's a triangle in the United States. People go to work, they shop, and they go home, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they don't interact with anybody in between going to those things because they stay in their cars, and while they're in their cars, they're in the hostile environment of the freeway.
Yeah.
And that's life here.
Apart from Sundays when they go to church.
Right, exactly. Don't even get me started on that.
So. Well, I have to say that was actually one of the things that I most appreciated when I moved here, that there was no overt religiosity of any sort.
Oh, that must be so nice.
Well, it is. I mean, because there are religious people, obviously. They're everywhere. But it's not shoved down your throat, and it's not presumed as as everybody's religious. Because, I mean, the number of times in America where I ran across somebody who just assumed that I went to church somewhere, I couldn't begin to count them all.
Right.
But here it's just not like that. I mean, the last census showed that barely half of the population were nominally Christian. And of those, I would bet you that maybe 10% actually go to church with any sort of regularity. The rest just, mm-hmm. they call themselves that because their parents did or what have you.
Right.
And in the
right.
new census, it's probably Christians will probably be a minority. But that's mostly because of the influx of Hindus and Muslims and people like that.
Right.
And
yeah, see,
agnosticism too, probably.
Again, you know, 10 years ago, if you had asked me about religion, you'd be talking to a devout Catholic boy, you know, honestly. And I had a really good experience with my church because it was a very open church. It was a very liberal Catholic church, by comparison. And, you know, I really just loved going to church. But what I found out is I didn't love religion. I didn't love Jesus, really. I just liked being around people, you know, and I was having a good time with the people who was, I was, yeah. you know, it was the people that I was enjoying, not yeah. the religion. Yeah. I was having fun hanging around with friends and, you know, all that kind of thing. So, and of course, you know, I just, with the corruption in the Catholic Church and just all, you know, all the crap with the papacy and everything, yeah. you know, I just got completely disillusioned with that also. And it's just, you know,
yeah.
and I it's funny because I work with, you know, I'm in research and most of the people I work with are not, you know, from the United States. In fact, where I work, you know, U.S. citizens make up a very, very small minority. You know, okay. it's mostly European and Asian people. And we have, you know, group things at my institute. And it's a private institute and it's affiliated with a religious institute here in Dallas. And you know, we have a Thanksgiving dinner, and the office people, whenever they participate, they always insist on doing some kind of grace or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a private institute, so we can't, there's nothing you can say about it because it's private. If it were a public institution, then you could object, you know.
Yeah.
But because it's private, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And because also it's religious affiliated. And I remember the first time I was there, this French person, I was waiting in line for food. She turned around to me and she said, "Everywhere in this country, people are praying." She said, "They pray at the grocery store. They pray in their cars." I mean, she was about ready to lose it. She just had it with the praying, you know, like.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's not doing any good.
I know. It's just, you know, it's a real waste of time, honestly.
Yeah. There's one aspect that. But New Zealand culture that sometimes makes me uncomfortable. They will have these ceremonies. I'll say they open a public building or what have you, and it's based on Maori traditions, which is fine, except that there's a strong Christian overtone to a lot of it, and that makes me really uncomfortable. Now, if I go onto a marae, which is a Maori communal land, basically, I'm in their house. I play by their rules. That doesn't faze me. But when it's a taxpayer-funded thing, I get uncomfortable with overt religiosity. Because, I mean, I think the governments should be neutral. They shouldn't be favoring any religion, and they shouldn't be disparaging it either, necessarily, because, I mean, people do hold those beliefs, and they're citizens, too.
Right.
But it makes me uncomfortable. Every session of the New Zealand Parliament opens with a prayer to Jesus, and I just think that is so offensive. There's a Muslim MP sitting there in the house, and there might be other religions, too, for all I know. I'm certain to be a bunch of atheists as well, and they have to sit there and listen to this prayer to Jesus, and it just it strikes me as being wrong.
Yeah, it's
that's just
it
me,
is it no it is it is wrong. I mean, because you're assuming that, because the whole point of that is at one time it was to kind of put the fear of God in the policymakers as to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like when in this country, you know, you swear on the Bible when you're under oath, because if you lie, then you're going to go to hell or something, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, what if you just don't believe in any of that, you know?
Yeah.
I put my
beliefs into practice when I became a citizen of New Zealand, because, first of all, if you can take an oath and you can choose the holy book. Somebody asked if you could bring the Klingon Bible in or something like that. I've forgotten. At any rate, you could pick the Quran or the Bible or whatever you want, or you could make an affirmation, which is what I did, because there was no mention of any higher power or God or anything. And I thought, this is a civic event. It has nothing to do with any religion, and it would be inappropriate to be, you know, swearing on the name of some deity or whatever. And so I didn't. So I just made an affirmation. I didn't have to swear. I didn't have to hold a holy book or anything like that. So I thought, I'm gonna do as I've always preached, as it were. And yeah. Not swear on a Bible, and I didn't.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's and I think recently, in the Senate, was it in the Senate here or in the House, that someone admitted that they don't believe in God.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it was this huge thing. It was like, oh wow, he doesn't believe in God. You know, and it was actually when we were in Australia, we were, you know, relaxing one night after dinner. We were watching television, and on ABC they had a panel, and they were talking about integrating Muslims into society, because there's a lot of racial, there's a lot of tension right now between Muslims and Australians. And they were talking about how they could integrate into Australian society more easily, et cetera, so forth. And one of the panelists, it was shocking to me, he professed his atheism on national television.
Yeah.
And I was bowled over, because in this country, if you did that on any of these shows that they have on, you know, CNN, MSNBC, all this shit, I mean, you would just be completely discredited at every angle. Yeah. You know, you're just like, oh, well, you're an atheist. You know, you don't have any morals, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really kind of just twisted.
Well, I've noticed on our TV when they have those sort of chat shows, even if they're talking about quasi-religious subjects or something about morality or whatever, the subject of religion doesn't come into it unless they've got a preacher on or something. But I mean, ordinarily, it's just ordinary people having a conversation about morality or ethics or whatever it might be. And they're not talking about their personal beliefs, which I found really refreshing.
That's great. You know, I mean, and how nice is it to, it would be so nice to know that, you know, your neighbors and your fellow citizens are moral and ethical people, because they understand the rationality behind that. They're not moral and ethical because they're afraid of some unseen God striking them down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would be just so refreshing, you know, because to me, that's just kind of like the only reason why you're a good person is because you're afraid, because you're afraid you're not going to go to heaven. Well, that's awfully selfish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people ought to be doing the right thing because it's the right thing, not because
exactly because it's the right thing, not because you're being scared into doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So, that's you know, that's religion. You know, most of it is just fear. You know, it's all about fear. And
well, there must be something in the human psyche that responds to that, or something, because the politicians play the same game.
Oh, it's vanity. I think in the end, it's vanity, is because people want to live forever, and they love this idea of, they think that they will be able to live forever in a magical fairyland, you know, after they die.
Yeah.
And it's just, and they don't care about the here and now, so they shit all over everything and everybody.
Yeah.
And they just kind of go through the motions that they can live forever with God, you know, and that's just stupid to me.
Well, particularly because some of them have this presumption that life is so horrible that they can't wait for it to be over.
Oh, I know. Oh, well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was at the gym on Friday, and, you know, on Glenn Beck, who I cannot stand, he's on CNN. He's absolutely horrible. He had these guys that wrote the Left Behind series in the End of Days.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, you know, if you really think the end is here, and you think life is so horrible and it's all so fucked up, then just kill yourself.
Yeah.
Do us all a favor and drink the lemonade and go away.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's terrible. I think that there are beautiful things in this world for everyone to see and experience. And there's, I mean, for all the bad things that are going on right now, you know, it's, the world is really increasingly a more peaceful place.
Yeah.
And really there's nothing to, you know, get so crazy about in terms of, like, it's the end is nigh. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, well, then sometimes they go out of their way to try to make it happen too. Like Pat Robertson and his gang trying to get support for Israel because they think it'll bring about the end of the world.
Yep.
I'm like, yep. That's a really fucked up way to do things.
I know. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. They want it to happen, you know? That's, I mean, and I think even on 60 Minutes, they did a report about that a couple of years ago, about how that's why Republicans in Congress support Israel.
Yeah.
You know, the wing nuts in Congress, because they believe it's a biblical prophecy that has to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, it's so stupid. I don't know why people just can't, like, just enjoy nature and food and their friends and family, you know? Yeah. It's like, why do we have to, you know, concentrate on fulfilling what the Bible says? It's so lame.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's mostly just that there is one side of society that thinks, well, I don't necessarily agree with you, but, you know, you're free to believe that. But then there's the other side, and they tend to control things, who say, I don't agree with you. You're wrong. You must believe as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who are causing mm-hmm. all the trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this particular version of the call has been about 40-odd minutes.
Wow.
So what I'll probably do is wrap it up here, but we can chat for a little bit after I end that. But
sure.
Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I really
thank you very
it.
Much for having me. I really enjoyed
pleasure.
It. Sorry if I was a little polemic.
Well, I would expect nothing less. We must do this again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And thanks
you
again.
You need to come on my podcast.
Yes, that would be good.
Excellent.
Be sure to check out Adam's podcast at thisboyelroy.com. And complete show notes for this episode will be on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, where you can leave a comment on this episode or anything else for that matter. And you can send an email to amarins@yahoo.com or amarins@gmail.com. The next show is on Friday, and I can't tell you what's on because it's a secret. Bye, everybody.